just commit our time, please, to the Lord. A word of opening prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come to thee today, thankful again that we can approach into thy presence. Help us, O God, today, Lord, as we would seek to praise thee, worship thee. We pray, Lord, that our praise might be acceptable in thy sight. Be with us today, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. I'm going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 27. The words will also be on the screen. But if you prefer the hymn book, it's page 186. Come, let us with our Lord arise, our Lord who made both earth and skies, who died to save the world he made and rose triumphant from the dead. The hymn number 27, and we'll stand as we sing this opening hymn, please. Come before the Lord again, please, in prayer. Let's just still our hearts in the Lord's presence and ask for his help as we come to worship him this morning. Let's pray. Eternal God and our Father, we would lift our hearts once again in praise and thanksgiving to thee. We thank thee, Lord, for this day. We can say, Lord, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Help us, therefore, to rejoice and be glad in it. Our Father, we pray that you'll help us, Lord, to thank thee for all you've done for us this day already. We thank thee, Lord, today that you've given us health and strength to be found in the house of God. We thank thee, Lord, for the food for clothes. We thank the Lord for troubling mercies to God's house this morning. We realize, O God, that all of these things are from Thee. And so, our Father, we pray that You'll be pleased, Lord, to take, Lord, of the sacrifice of our lips as we would offer our praise to Thee. Lord, we thank Thee today for this day. Lord, this resurrection morning that reminds us of the Savior that we serve. We thank Thee, Lord, that we come to One who is exalted far above all. We thank Thee, Lord, today we come to One who is sovereign, who is seated at the Father's right hand in glory. Lord, who is that Prince, that Priest, our Prophet, our King forevermore. We thank Thee, O God, today for our Mediator. We praise Thee, Lord, for the access that we have to Thee in prayer. For, Lord, we come to Thee the only way we can come, through the merits of Christ, all that He has accomplished for us. And so, Lord, we lift our hearts to Thee today. Lord, we pray that You'd be pleased to bless our coming together. Oh God, we pray that You'll make this, Lord, time of worship a very blessed time. Lord, a time when we'll feel Thy presence. We'll hear the voice of the Lord. Come and speak to us today, we pray. Oh God, we pray that You'd be pleased to remove, Lord, every distracting thought. Lord, those things, Lord, that have occupied us throughout the week that has passed. Plans made for the week that lies ahead. Oh God, we pray that You'll remove them and bring every thought into captivity. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be very conscious that God is amongst us. Oh God, we pray for that sense of the presence of the living God. Lord, for the divine Spirit, Lord, to fall upon us. Lord, how much we need Thee. Lord, we cannot, we dare not seek to worship Thee in our own right or our own ability. But Lord, we look to Thee today. Give us, Lord, that help that we need. We pray, Lord, You'll bless every head bowed in Thy presence. Oh God, we thank Thee today for Your goodness to us that finds us in the house of the Lord, for being with us throughout the week that has passed, for Your hand of protection and preservation. We thank Thee, Lord, for watching over our steps and guiding our ways. And oh God, we pray You'll bless us today. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us this morning. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell in their homes and hospital. Lord, just draw very near to each and to all at this time. Lord, may they know the touch of the Master's hand being upon them. And, oh God, we pray that You'll just restore unto them, Lord, that desired measure of health and strength once again. Our Father, we pray that You'll remember us for good. Lord, remember our witness here in the Sandown Road. We just pray, Lord, that You will be pleased to bless us. We ask, O God, that as we set out in another year of service and witness for Thee, Lord, come up with us, O God. Lord, be very near to us, we pray. Lord, we pray that You'll give us the desires of our heart. Lord, that we'll see the work of God go forward. Lord, that we'll see our borders extended and expanded. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the homes, the Lord, communities, Lord, in which we live. Oh God, we pray that You would be pleased to speak into this area, we pray especially. We ask, oh God, that You'll work in Ballyhackamore. We ask, oh God, that You'll create that interest after the things of God. We think, Lord, even of those in our own families who are out of Christ. Lord, those who have no desire to come to the house of God. We pray that even this day, Lord, even this year, Lord, that we'll see them in God's house. And, oh God, we pray that You'll be pleased even today, wherever they are, speak to them, save them by Thy matchless grace, and unite family circles in Christ, we pray. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless us for good, Lord, across the city. Remember, Lord, every faithful witness of the cross today. Encourage Thy servants who are faithful to Thee. Bless, Lord, the going forth of the word. Remember, Lord, across our land and across our nation, every sister congregation of the Free Church, Lord, we pray, come once again and visit this vine, we pray, and pour out Your Spirit upon us, we pray. Forgive us, O God, wherein we have failed Thee. Forgive us, O God, wherein we have walked away from Thee. O God, we pray, return to us, O God, we ask. Turn us, O God, cause Thy face to shine upon us. And so, Lord, be merciful to us. Remember across every nation of this world. We thank the Lord today that the gospel is going forth, Lord, in different languages, yes, but Lord, we thank Thee that it is the same gospel. And, O God, we pray that You'll bless the going forth of Thy word. Remember those who are serving Thee in the mission field. Encourage them, we pray. Bless their labors, we ask of Thee. Remember, Lord, the persecuted church. Remember the underground church today, those who cannot worship Thee publicly. Bless, Lord, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever they are. And, O God, we pray that You'll protect them. And, Lord, strengthen their faith, O God, we pray. Lord, be with us just now. Hear and answer prayer. Lord, even as we come around the Word of God, it is our prayer that You would speak to us, Lord, that we'll hear the voice of the living God. So be with us, we pray, and pour out your Spirit upon us just now. In the Saviour's name we ask all of these things. Amen. Amen. Returning this morning to the opening book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, please. Genesis and the chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, familiar words that we'll read here about Noah and the instructions that God gave to him to build the ark. We want to look this morning at the subject of faithfulness in barrenness, as we see it in the life of Noah. But let's read together the Word of God, Genesis chapter 6, please, and the verse number 5. Commence the reading down to the end of the chapter. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind too, of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Can I extend a warm word of welcome along to you all this morning? We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord today, and we welcome you sincerely in the Lord's great name. To those who are visiting with us, we welcome you in the Savior's name. We pray the Lord will bless you as well. But to you all, may we all know the Lord's blessing as we come to his house today. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you today. Can I remind you of our Sunday school over in Redburn this afternoon, 2:30, and then we come for our gospel service tonight at 6:30. We'd love to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight for our gospel meeting at 6:30. We have our season of prayer beforehand at 6:00. If you can come that little bit earlier and seek the Lord's face, that would be much appreciated. Our brother James Gailey will be here to sing tonight. Tuesday, our Explorers Club at 6:30, and then on Tuesday at 8 o'clock, we have a deputation meeting on behalf of our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, who's one of our home missionaries, and our brother Colin will be here to tell of his work. So I trust you'll join with us Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, and to hear of the work that he is involved in. There'll also be an offering taken up at that meeting to support our brother Colin. Can I remind our elders that on Thursday night, God willing, at 7:30 p.m. we'll meet here in the church for our session meeting. Friday night, 8 o'clock, young people back here in the church for our youth fellowship on Friday night. God willing, I'll be speaking on Friday evening. Also on Friday night, that'll be the monthly men's prayer meeting in the church as well at 8 p.m. All the services, normal times, next Lord's Day, commencing with the Sunday School Bible class, 10:15, our morning worship, 11:30, and our gospel service, 6:30, and both of those preceded by the half hour of prayer. I'll be preaching both services next Sunday, God willing, and Catherine and Ruth Mitchell will be back to sing with us, God willing, next Sunday evening. Then next Sunday night sees the commencement of our special seasons of prayer. Please do remember that. We'll be meeting after the gospel meeting next Sunday night for special times of prayer. Going into the following week, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday of that following week, each night at 8 o'clock. And so I trust that you'll set these times aside and join with us for these special seasons of prayer. Can I take this opportunity to thank all those who came on Thursday evening for the recordings for Let the Bible Speak. Appreciate your support and thank you for being a part of the congregation on Thursday night past. There are still, at least I think there are still copies of our missionary calendar that you can take and pray through each day for various missionaries and various missionary works. If you haven't got a copy, please take one with you and use it at home. And then also still copies of Paul's book available. I don't know how many have we left now. There's still some there. So if you haven't got a copy, please take one with you. They're priced £5. You can put the money in the basket there. And why not, again, as we said last week, use them as a means of giving them to someone that you know, some neighbor or friend, and use it even as a means of outreach as well. So, and you're supporting the work as well in Nepal because all the proceeds are going to the precious orphanage in Nepal. Do remember the offering boxes are available there for your tithes and for your offerings. You can place your money in it as you leave. I think these are all the announcements, and as always, they are made subject to the will of the Lord. We're going to sing another hymn together at this stage. It's the hymn number 313. Hymn number 313, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. 313, and we'll stand again as we sing this hymn, please.
Holy Lord.
And I ask you please to turn again, the Word of God, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, as we said this morning, we want to look at the subject of faithfulness in barrenness. And we pray the Lord will bless His Word to our hearts. But with the Word of God open before us, let's seek His help, please, again, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We praise Thee, O God, today that we're not left to wander aimless through this world. Lord, we're not left to wander and to seek to live the Christian life in our own strength or with our own thoughts. But Lord, we thank Thee today for the instruction of the Word of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today Thy Word will instruct us. Lord, that You'll be pleased to teach us. And O God, we pray that You'll give us all that teachable spirit. O God, we pray that we might understand what God the Lord would have to say to us. Bless Thy Word to our hearts, we pray. Encourage us, O God, we ask. O God, we pray that You'll speak, and speak very clearly out of the Word of God this morning. Give us help, we pray. We need Thee. O God, pour out Your Spirit upon us. Give us help to preach, Lord. Give us help to hear. And O God, we pray that everything that would be said, Lord, would be to the honor and to the glory of our Savior. So hear and answer prayer. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. It is an indisputable fact that society today is becoming ever more secular and godless by the day. Christianity and the standards of the Word of God are being marginalized and penalized at an even greater pace. You just have to look at the consecutive attempts by various governments to cave in to the marginal movements of transgenderism, homosexuality, the abortionists, and so the list goes on and on. This surely today is a wicked generation. And yet, as we're told in Scripture, there is no new thing under the sun. Because right at the very start of the Word of God, after God had created this world and after God had created all mankind, we find an age that is even far worse than this present age in which we live. An age which God Himself describes as being wicked. He says the intents of men's hearts were only evil continually. It was a day when the earth was filled with corruption, with violence, and with rebellion. It was a day of barrenness spiritually. And there was no interest in the things of God. And into this generation there is born a man by the name of Noah. Noah was called and Noah was commissioned by God to preach to such a generation. He is described over in the New Testament, in the book of 2 Peter, as the preacher of righteousness. But here's the thing. No one listened to him. No one wanted to hear what Noah had to say. There was little or no fruit for his labors or for his preaching. And at the end of the day, the only people that Noah saw saved was his own family. Nobody else. There were no revivals in Noah's day. There was no movings of the Holy Spirit bringing many to faith in Jesus Christ. Yet, in spite of this barrenness, Noah remained faithful to God. And folks, that's where it all begins, and really that's where it all ends. As far as our living for God is concerned, yes, of course, we must seek to be active. We must seek to be busy in the service of God as Noah was. But first and foremost, we must be faithful in the work of God. Now, it's easy to be faithful when things are going well, when things are happening in the church and people are coming in and the work is advancing and the work is growing. Yet, it's a different thing to remain faithful when times are barren. When we go through lean times in the work of God, people can and do sadly get itchy feet and the draw of bigger churches or just not bother with church at all. Times of barrenness can be used as an excuse for times of unfaithfulness in the work of God. And yet that should not be the case. Noah is a tremendous encouragement for every Christian in this generation. Because we're living through barren times. We're experiencing lean times in the work of God. It seems that even God's people have lost interest in the gospel, lost interest in the place of prayer, lost interest in the work of God. And I want us to look at Noah. And I want us to consider his life. And may this morning his life be a challenge to each one of us. But may it also be a template. May it be an example as to how we can display faithfulness even in the midst of barrenness. The first thing I want us to notice about his faithfulness is the reason. The reason for his faithfulness. Noah was faithful, and we will see in a moment just how that was seen in his life. But what was it that made him faithful? What was it that motivated or stirred Noah to be faithful in the work of God? Because it certainly wasn't the circumstances. It certainly wasn't the fact that he was seeing hundreds and thousands of people coming to Christ, because that wasn't happening. Well, the answer, the reason, the grounds, the foundation of his faithfulness, I believe, can be summed up in the words that we find in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 in the verse 8, we read, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As we have pointed out in the past, this is the first place, the first reference in Scripture where grace is found. This word grace is found. Grace here, it means favor. It means an acceptance. And so we're brought in this verse 8 to an account of Noah's salvation. Noah was saved by the grace of God. He was accepted before God. And remember, grace is as much a part of the salvation of the Old Testament saints as it is the New Testament saints. You think of what we read about this morning. You think of how that in verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man being great in the earth, the imagination of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continually. You think of all the wickedness and the vileness of man, and yet in spite of that darkness, here is the grace of God seen and experienced. We read as well in verse number 9 that Noah was a just man. That means he was right before God. He was right in the sight of God. And folks, here I believe is the reason, the grounds, the foundation of his faithfulness. It was by virtue of the fact he had been redeemed, he had been saved out of the hordes of humanity who were lost, who were perishing, who were dying in sin, yet the Lord in grace saved Noah. And it is this truth, this reality, this assurance that Noah had that caused him to be faithful to God throughout his life. You see, what Noah is doing by his life of faithfulness is an outworking of his thankfulness to God for saving him. In a world where all was lost, in a world that was dark, in a world that was perishing, yet God saved Noah. Noah saw the sin of the world. He saw his own sin, he knew his own sin, and yet the Lord in grace stepped into his life and saved him, and he was thankful to the Lord for ever doing that. And therefore he could do nothing else, as far as he was concerned, but serve the Lord with all of his heart for all of his days. You see, as Noah worked and as Noah labored for the Lord, he realized that anything he had and all that he had from the Lord. Every gift, every grace was from above. Verse 8, notice that Noah found grace. He didn't merit it. He didn't attain it by his faithfulness or by his own labors. It wasn't by the works of his own hands that he got grace. He found grace. The unmerited favor of God was extended to him. Grace found Noah as a sinner, and grace changed his life, and grace transformed his life into a child of God. Grace took the darkness of Noah's life and exchanged it for a whiteness of a new life, a life that is saved and redeemed and regenerated. And Noah is so overcome with the grace of God that he had experienced. When he realized what he was a sinner, as all are sinners. He was a hater of God, as all are, cut off from God, as all are. He had no right to God, yet God, in his grace, sought out Noah and saved his life. Noah was justified. Made just as if he had never sinned. Taken from that state of sin and brought into a right relationship with God, all because of grace. You see, Noah knew he was a saved man. Noah knew he was right before God. Noah knew it was all because of the grace of God. What Noah could do was look away to Calvary. With the eye of faith, look away to the cross and see there a man hanging on that middle cross. There he could see a man who did no wrong, who did no sin, yet being made sin for him. He, with the eye of faith, could see the wrath of God being poured out upon the Son of God there at the cross of Calvary. That a sinner like Noah could be redeemed and saved. Noah, with the eye of faith, looked away to Calvary and saw the Savior bleeding and dying for Noah's sin. He heard the agonizing groans of the Savior as he hung there, as Christ was made a scapegoat for Noah's sin, as Christ who was his substitute, as Christ who was his sin offering, as he endured God's wrath there on the cross for Noah's sin. You say, what has that got to do with Genesis 6 and verse 8? It's got everything to do with Genesis 6 and verse 8. Because where do we see the grace of God displayed to guilty sinners? It's at the cross. And as a result of all that Noah came to appreciate and understand about God's salvation, Noah could do nothing else but serve the Lord all his days. Noah was taken up with the wonder and the amazement of his salvation. You see, Noah never lost the wonder of his salvation. Noah never lost the wonder of what it was for him to be saved. Noah never lost the great mystery that he was a sinner, but now he's accepted before God. His sins are forgiven. He could look around at the rest of humanity and he could see them lost and perishing and going to a Christless hell. Yet he could look in within himself and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you for ever redeeming me out of all the masses of humanity, ever setting your love upon me and saving me. Noah had everything he needed when he had Christ. And I believe that was the reason for his faithfulness. Because, folks, at the end of the day, that is the reason for our faithfulness too. That's the grounds of our faithfulness. We can encourage faithfulness in the work of God. We can preach about it. We can plead about it. But it is not until you have fully grasped what Christ has done for you at the cross of Calvary will you ever come to that place of total surrender and submission. You sit beneath the cross. Sit beneath the cross this morning and see the very bleeding form of one who died for your sin. Should you not therefore be faithful? What is it that's going to motivate us in the work of God? What is it that's going to keep us at the work of God? What is it that's going to enable us to be faithful in the work of God in this year that lies before us? It is that fresh view of Christ. Christ who is full of grace and truth. The one who died that we might live. To think that there on the cross, Christ gave his life for me, his entire life. He held nothing back. Do you know there was nothing more important in the mind of Christ but going to the cross to die for your sin and mine? That is why he came into this world in the first place. And that is why he continued on through times of much rebuke. Times when he was hated and times when he was hounded. What was it that made him press on to the cross? It was in love for your soul and mine to save you and me from sin. Francis Ridley Havergill wrote the hymn, "Thy life was given for me. Thy blood, O Lord, was shed that I might ransomed be and quickened from the dead. Thy life was given for me. What have I given for thee?" Christ gave his all on the cross for us. Christ gave his everything on the cross for the sins of Noah and for your sins. Why should I be faithful in the work of God despite what's going on? Because Christ loved me with an everlasting love and died to save my soul from sin. It's all because of grace. Are you giving the dregs of your life to the Lord? Just serving the Lord when it suits or when it's convenient? Serving the Lord when it doesn't impinge upon your own comforts or your hobbies or your interests. Maybe you've left off being faithful to God. Maybe you've even come to the point today when you believe there's no point in serving the Lord anymore. There's no point in being faithful to Him. And your service for God and your love for God has been waning. Maybe even today you've come to the point you're ready to throw in the towel. Can I remind you today of a Savior who loved you so much that he gave his life and shed his blood to save you from sin? The only way you or I will be in heaven will be through him and all through him. Why then should we be unfaithful to him? I urge you today, get back to serving the Lord, living for the Lord, being faithful to the Lord, that you might live for him. Remember what he had to go through in order to save your soul. Paul speaks about the Lord enduring the contradiction of sinners against himself. He endured the rebuke and the revile of the world. He endured the wrath of the Father for your sin. He went the whole way. He gave his life entirely that you might be saved. God's grace God's grace in saving a sinner is the greatest motivation and stimulation to cause us to be faithful in the work of God. When you feel, I don't want to serve the Lord, or I don't want to go to church today, or I don't want to do anything for the Lord, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, remember Calvary. Remember Calvary. Christ wasn't too busy to save your soul. Christ wasn't too weary to go the whole way to the cross in grace to bring you to Himself. Remember Calvary and what He did for you there. The reason for His faithfulness, because of the grace of God and salvation extended to Noah in his life when all around were lost. We live in a godless generation, a secular world today. And it can cause the people of God to give up. Things are too hard. Times are tough. Nobody's interested. And we can therefore become unfaithful. We just remember all that Christ did in saving your soul from sin. That while the world around us are lost and going to hell, remember you're saved and going to heaven. While the world around us have nothing to look forward to, folks, we have everything to look forward to. Heaven with Christ for all eternity. Noah was faithful. The reason for it was the grace of God extended to him in salvation. Not only the reason for his faithfulness, but I want us to come as well and notice now, secondly, the reality of his faithfulness. The reality of his faithfulness. You see, being faithful and steadfast in the work of God, it'll be clear for everyone to see. You will always notice someone who is faithful. Not by what they say, but what they do. Unfaithfulness starts in the heart, but it soon becomes evident in the life. But just as unfaithfulness will be seen, so too will faithfulness be seen. And it most certainly was seen in the life of Noah. Let's notice how it was seen. It was seen, first of all, in his walk. Genesis chapter 6. And the verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. What a testimony. What a testimony from the lips of the Lord Himself. Noah walked with me. That word perfect there in verse 9, it means he was blameless. Nobody could throw a thing at Noah. And in an age when very few walked with God, in an age when there was wickedness and violence and the ways of God were being ignored, and yet Noah walked with God. Noah didn't say, well, everybody else is just living their own lives and I'll just do the same. He didn't use the excuse of the sinfulness and the barrenness of the generation to hinder his walk with God. People say, I find it very hard to walk with God in this generation. I find it very hard to live for God in these days in which we're living. Folks, if you can't live for God in 2023 in this land, then there's little hope. Or maybe others say, my circumstances are so hard and so tough, I can't walk with God because of what I'm going through. Remember, Noah was hated. Noah was laughed at. Nobody wanted to hear what Noah had to say. But Noah still walked with God nonetheless. You see, folks, Noah realized the truth that sometimes we can lose sight of, that you and I, those who are saved today, just as those who are unsaved, we will stand before God to give an account. Not about how your man down the road walked with God or didn't walk with God. Or not to give an account of how our family members walked with God or that person, that church, and they're the biggest hypocrite out and look what they're doing. No, you'll be called to answer for what you have done and how you have walked with God. When you stand before the Lord to give an account of how you've lived, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the barrenness, how you have walked with God, how is your walk with God today? Are we faithful spending time with Him? Are we faithful in the work of God? Are we faithful in the place of prayer? Are we faithful in our walk with God? Noah's faithfulness was seen not only in his walk, but it was also seen in his generation. To this godless generation, Noah witnessed about the Lord. For 120 years he preached. 120 years, as we said, he is called the preacher of righteousness. He was a gospel preacher. And for 120 years, year in and year out, he brought that message, the same message, never changed, never altered. And yet outside of his family, he saw no one saved. No one. And yet in many ways, he saw the greatest blessing by seeing his family saved. Noah would not have been thought too highly of today. Noah probably would have been brought before church councils today and saying, well, what's going on here? Nothing's happening. An examination came to Noah. Well, how many members did you get? Well, none. And how many souls have you saved over the past 120? Well, not very many, really. Well, you're not doing very well, are you? No, Noah did better than some of those hypocrites standing in massive churches today because he was faithful in season and out of season. We look for numbers, of course we do. We look for people being saved. We look to see people going on with God. But before we can be fruitful in the work of God, we must be faithful in the work of God. And folks, even if we're not fruitful, we'll still must be faithful. Faithful in heeding what God has called us to do. To go and tell the world. I'm sure there were many times when Noah was discouraged. Many times when he was disheartened. Many times when he was frustrated. But he stayed the course for 120 years. You know, one of the greatest proofs of our faithfulness to God is our constant commitment to Him. Despite what's going on. And I urge you today, stay the course for God. This is a godless generation. And maybe today you're finding the going very tough, very hard. You stay on the course for God. And don't forsake the only one who can help you through all this time. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. We see his walk, we see his witness, but we see his willingness. Come to the end of Genesis chapter 6. And in the intervening verses, God has given the instructions about the ark. How it was to be built, what he was to do. And notice just three words at the end of their very end of chapter 6. Genesis 6, verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So did he. He wholly, fully, completely willingly did what God wanted him to do. Chapter 7, verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 7 of chapter 7, and Noah went in. Noah didn't know what God was doing. Noah didn't understand it. Why am I building an ark when it hasn't rained for years? Yet he still trusted God. He still took God at his word and obeyed God. You see, folks, we are not called to reason with God or to question God or to doubt God. We are just simply called to trust Him and follow Him. Through thick and through thin, Noah remained faithful. And even when the doors were shut and it still wasn't raining, Noah remain faithful to God. How does our faithfulness measure up to that of Noah's? Are we willing to obey God? Are we willing to go through with God? Or have we let our lives for God slip? We're not as faithful as once we were. Folks, don't live in the shadows. Don't live in the misery of a life away from God. Don't allow excuses, whatever excuses they may be, to allow you to be unfaithful and to wander from God. Don't live your life in God's second best. Get back to God and get right with Him today. We see the reason for his faithfulness was the grace of God in his life. The reality of his faithfulness, we see it in his walk, we see it in his work, we see it in his willingness. But thirdly and finally, I want us to notice now the reward of his faithfulness. You see, God always blesses those who are faithful to him. Your faithful service for God will never go unnoticed by the Lord. Noah was rewarded for faithfulness. Three things we want to notice here about the reward. First of all, he enjoyed God's protection. He enjoyed God's protection. Genesis chapter 7. In fact, you read Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 8, and Genesis chapter 9. And they all start with God and Noah. God and Noah. The Lord said unto Noah, and we'll look at the others in a moment. But let's look at this first one, God's protection. Genesis chapter 7, verse 7, Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. God took Noah and his family into the ark and kept them safe during the storm that was coming. Noah's faith was rewarded. God protected his servant, protected his family. He hadn't served the Lord in vain for those 120 years when he had preached and preached and preached and nobody listened. Yet God was faithful in rewarding Noah by giving him his protection. God was taking care of his servant. Dear doubting saying today, I want you to know that God will take care of you as well. Don't doubt His word. Don't doubt His promise. Trust Him. Take Him at His word. Know His protection and His keeping power in your life. Times are hard. Things are tough. But God will take care of you through every day and over all the way. He enjoyed God's protection. God was with him. God was looking after him. But not only did he enjoy God's protection, he also enjoyed God's presence. Genesis chapter 8, now in the verse 1. and God remembered Noah. God remembered Noah. By his presence, that divine presence with Noah, his faith was rewarded. God had not forgotten about Noah. God had not forsaken Noah. I'm sure for those 120 years, there were times when Noah thought, what is this all about? Has God forgotten me? Has God forsaken me? I'm preaching and I'm preaching and I'm preaching and there's nobody listening. God had not forgotten about Noah. God cared. And God thought upon his servant and upon his child. God knew everything that Noah was going through. Before the flood, during the flood, and after the flood. Before the storm, in the storm, and after the storm, God knew it all. God's eye was ever upon his child. And dear Christian, this morning, perhaps you've come to God's house discouraged, disheartened, depressed. And you think nobody knows what you're going through. And the truth is, nobody does know what you're going through. But God knows. God knows. God remembered Noah. And God was going to bring him through it. Whatever you're going through today, God knows what you're going through, and he will be with you through it too. That little hymn says, why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and I long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion and my constant friend is he? His eye is on the sparrow and I know he watches me. Whatever you've gone through this week, perhaps in the darkest of days that you've had this week, God has seen you, and God has remembered you. And finally, he had God's praise. We come to Genesis chapter 9, in the verse 1, and God blessed Noah. God blessed him. God brought him through the storm, through the barrenness, to a time of plenty, to a time of blessing. No, it didn't happen immediately. But God blessed Noah. And in fact, we are here today because of the blessing of God upon Noah and through Noah. Noah took God at his word. Genesis chapter 6 in the verse 18, we read about the covenant. God entered into a covenant with Noah. And Noah trusted God. And his faith was rewarded. You can trust God today. You can stand upon his promise. You can stand upon his word. He will never fail you. Oh yes, Noah lost so much in the flood. But God made it up to him. Because he remained faithful through it all. When the Lord wrote to the church at Smyrna, one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. He finished off that letter with this exhortation to the people of God. Be thou faithful unto death. Be thou faithful unto death. And it seems in this age in which we live, especially in the evangelical world, it's all about numbers. Your church is bigger than my church. Well, how many members did you get? How are we faithfully before God today? The Lord seeking to impress upon his people the need for faithfulness in the work of God, despite whatever is going on, uses a parable as often the Lord did. The parable of the talents found there in the Gospel of Matthew. Three men given three different talents or pieces of coin. One was given five, one was given two, one was given one. The man who was given five, he went and wisely used it and he was able to get five more coins. The man who was given two did the same. But the man who had won, he didn't do anything. He wasted it. And he was rebuked by the Lord. But those who sought by the abilities and the talents that the Lord had given to them to use them in the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, the Lord said this to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Well done, good and faithful servant." There's a whole sermon there going round in my head just right now about the rewards there will be in heaven for the people of God, because I do believe there will be different rewards according to our faithfulness here on earth. Will we hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant? Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." The Lord doesn't say, "Well done, you were fruitful. You worked hard, you labored hard, and you saw all of this." No, he just said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The Lord desires faithfulness of his people still. We are living in barren times spiritually. We're living in a city, we're living in a community that has no time for the gospel. We are to remain faithful. We are to stick at where we are and to press on and to labor on and to work on. We might hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And folks, whenever we see Jesus, it'll be worth it all. Will you pledge, promise before God today, whatever happens in 2023 in this year ahead, whether it is barren or whether it's fruitful, I'm being faithful to God. May God help us by His Spirit so to be.